In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. How was the first week? Enjoy it? Did you enjoy the first week in school? Okay. So, today or tonight, let's talk about how to set priorities in our life. And why this is important? Or do you think it's important or no? Do you think it's important? Okay. I don't know how to talk too much. And Samir wanted me to talk like about 45 minutes, which is, for me, is like too much. So let's help each other, okay? Is it important to have like priorities in my life or no? Yes, why? Okay. So that means it's not important or what? Okay. Important. Who agrees? Okay. Not important. I don't know. I don't want to talk. Okay, it is important. Why? Anyone who raised his hand for it is important can tell me anything. Anything. Just one thing. Yes.
But it might not be like where you want it to go. Like, time is going to pass whether you have priorities or not, and then you're just going to end up somewhere, but like, it might not be where you want it to go.
Perfect. So the factor of time, we have something called time. And time, we'll try to talk about time a little bit, which is a very important factor. What else?
This is a bit of a stretch, but in Proverbs it says, "There's everything for everything there's a time under heaven." So I guess you could link it to this one. Priorities, you know?
So your part is like to, like what? First thing first, second. So the time for itself. Yeah, okay. Again about time. Okay, cool. Anything else?
Effort.
It's just when you have, if you set your priorities properly, you're going to start to put more effort into effort.
So when you organize and you know what you want to do, it will be less effort to do it, right?
No. When you're organized and you know where to put your effort.
Oh, okay. Okay. Where to put your effort, okay. Both work, right? Okay, cool.
You balance life and set goals. It's important to set goals so you can constantly be moving forward.
So, moving forward. That's all good. Yes, so it's all of the above. So, the factor of time is very important because, to be honest, we like, if I tell you what you have in your life, the most precious thing you have in your life is time. Okay? So it's every day you have a coin, kind of, and you trade this coin, which is the time, with whatever in your life. And your coin, the day you spend, it will never come back. It's very precious because whenever you spend your coin, it will never come back. So it's very important to know where you put this coin. I will give you some statistics. Okay, so some questions. Anyone, you know the answer of how much time does average people spend social network in Canada, actually. It's in Canada. Per what? That's per week. Social network. Social network. يعني generally. With other people. Yeah, you can count this as. Any idea about the number? 23.4? Number four. Okay, let's do it. Number one. 2 hours. Of course, obviously not. 9 hours. 23.4. Another four. 36.3. That's the major. Okay. Yeah, it's number four. It's number four. Good job. Okay. How much time does the average Canadian spend watching TV per week? Not including Netflix, just the regular TV. Who watches TV, right? Yeah. Obviously, some people watch TV. Not you, but. Who watches TV? Not Netflix. What? The youth? The news. Yeah, for example, news or anything else, not Netflix. Okay, number one, 13.6 hours. Okay, 30 hours. Number two, 30 hours. 18.7 hours. 27.8 hours. Two. It's 30 hours. Number two. So there is some people spend 30 hours in just regular TV, not Netflix. It's boring, right? Canada. Then Canada. Okay, I'll give you some statistics about also that will be kada yani we'll see. About Facebook. Facebook. Okay, there is 500,000 Facebook likes every minute. That's worldwide. 4.6 billion likes generated every day. And there is a trick about posting. If you want to post something ending with questions, it's 162% more interaction than the normal post. So if you need more interaction, just do it as a question mark. Like, do you know when I will die? Or who will remember me when I die? Or something like that. 34.5% users between 18 and 29 age group. 52% users female and 48% are male. Hmm? 75% of Facebook revenue come from mobile advertising. And the guy generates $1.4 million revenue every hour. Okay? Twitter. 100 million daily active users. And here come to the women and men, Amir. 55% female and 45% male. 170-minute user spent on Twitter, average. 71% ignored and 23% generation reply. Now the last one, Instagram. In Instagram, there is 85 million videos and photos people uploaded every day, coming from 75 million active users. Now the male is 51% are male and 49% female. I'm not sure this. It will balance a little bit. Yeah, and you know why, right? Oh, okay. Anyway, so that gives some idea about how much time we spend in social media. Why we're saying that, why we mentioned this one? I mean, the matter of time, which is, it's really the most precious thing you have in life. And if I give you a trick, I think I said that last couple of weeks. If you want to know when you spend how you spend your time in your cell phone, go to the setting and go to the battery and see which app spend most of the battery. That will give you an idea where your time. Okay, but yani still yani when you say that. Thank you, John. No. Yani when it says like 85% of your battery goes for, yani went in Facebook. That yani, the Bible will take the. But anyway, so. Time is very important because it's. If I tell you, like, if anyone passed away, he will be like begging for 1 minute of your time, just 1 minute of your time. So I'm not scaring you or anything, but I mean one time, 1 minute, because as a Christian, even is more valuable because we have this time is not the. It's not the actual time. We believe that. We believe in this time we prepared for what? Eternal life. Like we spend our time preparing ourselves for eternal life. So don't spend your time. Spend it wisely. Don't spend it too much. I'm not saying Facebook and Instagram and whether it's bad, are like all bad or something. No, they're good. It's that how to use your time. Did anyone see this before? Okay. This is very important. I want to spend some time on this. In our life, all of us, we have this as our time. The first one is important and urgent. What does it mean, important and urgent? Like now. Like, do it now. If you don't do it now, I know it might be, you can sleep. You can sleep. Okay. Now means now. Like something very urgent. It's an emergency case. It's 911. It's oh my gosh. It's like I have to do it now. Right? So the house on fire. This is number one. I have to do it now. Right? Or I have a sudden problem and I have to go to the emergency right now. Like, I'll give you that example again and you can sleep. You can sleep, I promise. No problem. You heard that before, so I feel bad for you. Okay, I'll give you an example. Do you want to say the example instead of laughing? Okay. So, let's imagine a lady calling her insurance company, right? And saying that, okay, I want to increase the insurance of my house. It's like, sure, okay, come next week and sign a couple of papers and you'll be fine. It's like, no, I want to do it now. Okay, sure, come after 5 days and we will make it faster for you. It's like, no, I want to do it now. Sure, okay, come tomorrow. And, you know, come tomorrow morning, because now we're closing. Come tomorrow and do it. Like, no, I want to do it now. Why? Like, because my house on fire. It's like, it's too late. It is too late. That's number one. It's now is now. It's an urgent. Number two is urgent, but not important. It is urgent, but not important. Well, actually, we'll go this way. Important, not urgent. So important, not urgent, It's something very important and very valuable, but you don't have to do it now. So I'm studying now. I don't see you studying now. I'm sorry. It's just the first week. Enjoy it. But I mean, I can start to study now because studying is very important. The exam is very important. I will not take it now. But it's very important for me, so I will start prepare for it because I don't want to go. I'll make it number one. Because if it's coming number one, that means what? The exam is in 15 minutes and I didn't study yet. That's number one. That's the difference between number one and number three. So exam is important, is not urgent. It will become urgent if I did what? If I did what? I ignored. If I ignore it, it will become what? Important and urgent. Okay? This area, it's the area, the most important area in my life. And this area was where I should spend the most of my time. I'll explain why. Then urgent, not important, and not urgent, not important. These two guys, it's like, I'll give you an example. Let's say the last one, the fourth one. You have a meeting, you have an interview. Okay? I didn't say that before. You can wake up. I didn't say it before. So. You have a interview with the, with who?
Me? No.
Okay. Let's say, Obama? too late. With Trump. Donald Trump is not... Bill Gates. Okay? So this guy, he doesn't have time. Doesn't have time. And if he has time, he will not spend with... I'm talking about myself, okay? But suddenly, someone from the Microsoft head office and called you and is like, you know what? Bill Gates, he want to meet you for 5 minutes. You might be the executive of whatever. If you spend it well, if not, good luck. So it's very important. It's kind of, that's the dream of your life, let's say. And you went, and you're dressed very well, and you prepared your mind, everything is good, and suddenly the phone rings. Right? And the phone kept ringing. Kept ringing. Okay, it's pick me up. It's urgent. It is urgent. But compared with Bill Gates, it's what? It's nothing. So what? This is the distraction of your life. So it distracts you from your goals, from your important stuff. The thing is, sometimes we ignore number three, so all the important stuff in number three jump to number one. The problem of number one is like you are, imagine if you decide to go to the emergency every single day. How stressful it is. It is very stressful. You decide to spend your time, like let's say you have a problem in anything and it caused fire in your house and you didn't fix it, so every day you have to face the fire on your house. You have to fight it. Fight fire every single day. It's very stressful. You might be able to do it. Some people could do that, but it's very stressful. It will kill you one day. It's very stressful. However, it's very important. You have to do it. It's your life. You have to do it. But so what the solution of this is to keep working in number three. Spend the most time in number three. So do the important stuff in number three so you will finish them and it will not be urgent anymore. It will be done, prepared, done, your project done, and it's fine. In the Bible, let's say in the Bible. A very good example of this too is like the 10 virgins. Right, the parable of 10 virgins. Do you remember? Five of them were good, and five of them were fools. Why? What difference? They didn't bring oil. What does that mean? Not prepared. So five of them, they know what they are doing. They know what they want. And they did it in the square number three. Right? So they got the oil, and their lamp was, there was a light in their lamp all the time. There is no problem. So when the time came, they are ready. The problem of the other five, they did the same, actually. They were all waiting, and they are all lived a life in a godly way. However, when the time came, there was no oil. They were waiting to bring the oil at the last minute, which is too late. It was too late. And they lost what? They didn't lose a job. They didn't lose a project. They didn't lose a house. They lost what? The eternal life. They lost everything. Everything. So it's very important, even as Christians, to know my important thing is God is something, it is very important in my life. Eternity is something very important in life. So I need to visit this area in my life every day. Make sure everything is good. Spend time with God. Spend time with the Bible. Studying, I want to go. Study every day. And don't spend my time wisely. So when it comes to the exam, I will be ready. My relationship, my family, all the important stuff inside this area. So it will be, I will be like in a full control of there. Okay, so there one guy called Haggai. This guy, do you know his guy? This guy, not you, both. Sorry again. Keep laughing, and I will talk to you. Who knows Haggai? Haggai. Haggi. Never heard of one? Never? Okay. I will say it again. So, the problem is, Haggai is one of the prophets. Okay? He has a book in the Bible. You're interacting with me. I feel like... We're in St. Mary, right? The Bible, you know? No, I'm okay. Do you know the Old Testament? Know someone? Like, talk to me. Thank you, Martha. The Old Testament, there is an Old Testament, a New Testament. In the Old Testament, there are books, right? Genesis and books. And one of the books is Haggai. Okay, I'll just a side note. I said that before. A side note. The problem of not knowing these people, we will have a problem in the future. We might not have a problem now, but we'll have a problem in the future. Why? Because when we go to heaven, the first people will receive us, these people, the prophets and disciples and everything, and they will start to introduce themselves. Hi, this is Abraham, Jacob. Oh, I'm Adam. And if Haggai came to us and coming with a full confidence that everybody on earth know him, at least because you're here in heaven, so for sure you know me, right? And it's like, it's Haggai. It's like, yeah. Haggai, you know, the Old Testament. Yeah? You're in the Old Testament? Yeah, I have a book. So know them, at least the names, okay? So we'll not be embarrassed in heaven. Okay, so since you don't know Haggai, we will review the Old Testament, all of it, now, inshallah, if it comes, yeah. So how did we reach Haggai? Do you remember Adam and Eve? Thank God. So Adam and Eve, you know, the creation and everything, and then the sin came. And the second very important areas like Abraham. And Abraham started the, God called Abraham, and then the Abraham got Jacob and Isaac. Isaac, Jacob. And then Jacob moved to Egypt because Joseph, his son, went to Egypt and spent how many years in Egypt? 400 years in Egypt. And then who came to get them out of Egypt in the Exodus? Moses. Who came? Moses. Yeah, please. Yeah. Haggai. Not yet, Haggai. And Moses, okay, they took the people and get to the land. And who continued with them after Moses passed away? Joshua, thank you. And then after Joshua, there is an area kida في البايبل اسمها إيه؟ في book كده اسمه إيه؟ قبل الكينجز على طول. Judges, right? This very, it's nasty area كده. يعني people can judge. They are not judges like judges, but that's just a name. They're like leaders. And then the kings came. Kings, and who the first king? Not fear me. Someone has talked to me. Yeah, I will stop. Who? Yes, Saul. And who the second one? David. Okay. So Saul and David, and after David, son of David, who built the temple. Anyone from this area? Solomon. Thank you so much, Solomon. And Solomon built the temple, and was like huge, and everything is good. After Solomon, what happened then after Solomon? Something very important happened. Divided into two, at least. Divided into two, all right? This area, like David and Solomon, at about 1,000 years before Christ. Okay? About 1,000 years. And then the prophets came in this area. After Solomon, the prophets. So one of the prophets, prophets, they have like three in the time. Time-wise, three kada periods. The first one is like before the captivity, and during the captivity, and after captivity. So what's captivity? We're captive. Yeah, thank you. Very smart. Yeah, so what happened, like, the enemies came and took the destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, and they took all the Israeli people, right? Yeah. So before the captivity, all the prophets was like, guys, repent, so God will be pleased. Repent. And then captivity came, and then during captivity, you remember Daniel and the three young Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Yeah, three young youth. And then after captivity, which is one of them is Haggai. Okay? Haggai. Alas? Do we know Haggai now? So this guy came after captivity. And they start to, they want to build the temple again. They want to build the temple. So what happened in this area? Haggai is how many chapters? The second smallest book in the Old Testament. Two chapters. Okay. The smallest one is for sure one chapter. Thank you. So Haggai, he was the guy who's like telling people, I'll tell you what happened before that. People came and is like, you know what? God called them to be in Jerusalem again, and suddenly the king was like telling them, okay, you know what? Just go. Go to your city, go to Jerusalem, and build a temple, and do whatever you want to do. So people was like, okay, first thing we'll do, before we do anything, we will build the house of God. Which is great. So these people, like, they were great. So they start building the house, the temple, because the house of God or the temple, it's not anything. It's the presence of God. So it's very important for them. And then while they're starting to do it, the Samaritan people came and is like, you know what? We want to help you. And we know that, like, they don't agree to each other, don't like each other, right? They were like fighting together. So it's like they told them, no, we don't want you to do anything with the house of God. So they told them, okay, if we don't help you, you will not do it. So we have to do it. So it's like, you know what? We will wait until they forget, and then we'll start build the temple again. So they start building their own houses, and they forgot totally about the temple. 14 years passed, and nobody touched the temple. So everything was working, and go to school, and do whatever, the normal life, and they forgot about the temple. So Haggai, they came and told them, okay, you know what? You forgot about the house of God. So but what's the relation between what we are saying now about priorities and the house of God? So Haggai was telling them how to put first things first. In a brief, because we talk a lot of time talking about, we'll take like 2 points from this guy. It's very interesting, and because the people who are Haggai talking to, exactly like us, they are believers. They like God. They want to build a temple. And we're not talking about temple, like a temple. For sure, we know that we talk about what? When I say it's a temple, we need to build a temple. What does it mean? To build another church? I really feel like I'm talking to myself. So building a temple, what does that mean? In my life. So building the temple in my heart. Building the house of God in me. So a lot of times, we're busy, right? Life is busy. Life is busy. So studying, working, hanging out with my friends. And we're busy. So where is God in my life? That's what Haggai is talking about. So the introduction is in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth of months. This the king Darius is the king who sent them back home, right? And he started to tell us about who's the priest. And then, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, "These people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." The first thing is God is saying, these people, when I told them about the house of God, they said what? The time is not yet come. I'm still young. I didn't finish my studying yet. I have an exam. My friend, you know, he called me and he told me, I want to tell you something, and don't ever tell anyone. Don't talk to anyone about it. You know, it's a very important secret. So I left everything, and sorry, God, like, I know it's the time of my prayer and it's the time of my Bible, but, you know, it's my friend, and you said that, your friend, you know, love your brother like yourself, so I'm sorry. Excuses, right? We have a lot of excuses. And it's not bad excuses. It's only we don't put first things first. Do you remember the time management stuff? It's like, it is important and something urgent. I usually don't like to scare anyone when I talk, but I mean, your eternity, don't gamble with your eternity. Don't leave it as a second priority or a third or maybe in the square number 4, which is like, I don't touch it. I have a lot of distraction in my life. And suddenly, every time I read the parable of the 10 virgins, I feel like, you know, I don't know. It's very tough. Because these people spend the whole life waiting for God, and God told them what? I don't know you. I'm not scaring you, but you should be scared. Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, it's very important to visit this square of God in your life. And when you do that, what I mean by visiting it, I'm sure you will not draw the square and go and visit it, right? But I mean, spend time with God. The quiet time in your life, the Bible, the prayer. It's not because God wants that, because you need it. You need it. And once you do that, it's actually what happened. If you put God in the whole areas, everything will be organized. You will do everything through God. And then your life will be easier. Everything will be easier. Everything will be blessed. Because Haggai told them that. Then the word of God came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled house and the temple to lie in ruins? Biolom yani into Adin. You spend time to make your houses. Now, therefore, thus say the Lord the host, consider your ways. I want you to remember these three words. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. God is telling every one of us, consider your ways. Where are you going? What are you doing in your time? What are you doing in your day? How you spend your coin, what we were talking about in the beginning. How do you spend your coin? Do you know this coin will not come back? How do you spend it? Consider your ways. And then, you have so much and bring in little. So they're telling him, you are working too much and you gain nothing. You are eating and drinking too much and you never feel, I'm okay, I need more. Do you remember who said that in the New Testament? حد شاطر كده. Remember? Christ said something like that to someone. Like you drink, but you still, yes, Samaritan woman. The same message. So do you feel like you're spending a lot of efforts? Are you in doing a lot? And the gain is like, that's not your expectations? Do you feel you have a lack of blessing in your life? Maybe the point is you did not yet build the temple of God in your heart. So that might be you have a lot of distractions in your life. Yeah, he's telling them, the bag with holes. Like you put everything, you put time, and you feel run out of time. You feel like 24 hours, you wake up in the morning, and suddenly everything like gone. You didn't study, you didn't meet with friends, you didn't do anything, just time flies. And I didn't use anything, I don't have the blessing. I feel as if like I'm putting this time in a bag with the fill of holes. Maybe because you are like the blessing of God. So consider your ways again. That's the message. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a temple. Again, go up to the mountain, pray. Pray. Put this as a priority. This is number one in my life. I will pray. I will touch. I'll be in touch with God all time. I'll be in touch with Him through prayer and the Bible. I will not. There is a lot of messages here, but the last thing I will do, I want to show you something. So, what's this? What do you see? Rocks. Do you think it's a fall, this one fall? Is any other place can put anything? Do you think it's full? It is? Is it? Not full? Not full? There is some? Okay. Let's try. we'll try to put something inside. Okay, do you think it's full? No? Still full? Full now? Okay. It is kind of fun. What do you think? What's the point of that? What's the point? How? What else? That's right. I like that. There you go. Tamer. مجتمعي. طب انت قول what you want to say. So, yes, I agree with both of you. The thing is, if you didn't put the rocks first, what will happen? What will happen? It will not, yeah, you will not be able to put it. Right? If you fill it with water and all this garbage, whatever. So what will happen? There will not be a place for the rocks. So put your rocks first. And who's the rock in our life? Christ. So it's up to you to fill your heart. The rock did not prevent you from putting water and macaroni and rice and dust and everything. You can put everything, right? But first, put your rocks. Put your priorities first. The important things first. First things first. And then put everything, there will be a place, right? You can play around it. You can kind of shake it a little bit. You can have some time with your Facebook. You can have some time with your Netflix. You can have that. It's not bad. Have it. But first of all, put the rocks first. Okay? The rocks first. So, just to sum it up, the first thing I want to leave it with you guys to end this, conclude this, with this again. InshaAllah, ya anna maditla. Remember this very well. Remember this very well. Always visit the important but not urgent. Always visit the important. And the most important thing in your life is God is your eternity. Visited, by prayers, open your Bible, and everything that means it will not become urgent. Anything, your exam might become urgent, you might, yeah, and inshallah will not happen. Don't do well in the exam or whatever. You can take summer courses. I'm not saying that you have to do that. It's not good. But I mean, when it comes to your eternity, when it's come to the eternity, remember the parable of 10 virgins. Five of them, half of them, they lost the eternity because they did not put the rocks first. They did not put the oil first. They kept it till the end. And at the end, there was no time for them. Okay. Any questions? I will leave you continue sleeping. I'm sorry for bothering you like for 1 hour. I'm really sorry. Oh, I didn't even been bothered. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's even better. If you, yeah. So like, I'm so sorry about that. Okay, yeah.
If there's a situation where, like, for example, you have like an exam coming up, and like there's a liturgy, but like you're really tight on time. Like, are we still supposed to like force ourselves to make the time for the liturgy, or like is it okay to like skip once?
Perfect. That's a great question. Okay. I want to hear it from you first. So Baher is saying you have a situation that you have exam tomorrow, but before the exam you have a liturgy, like for 1 hour kid. Oh, 2 hours. Yeah? 3 hours? 3 and a just half hour. You have liturgy from 6 to 8 and your exam is 9. خلينا كده عشان بس نعدي. خلاص? So, and you still have like, you have two options. Either to use the 2 hours of the liturgy, studying, reviewing. كده I used to put this. Anyway, so you review and you, كده. Or you go to the liturgy and you spend the 2 hours. So what to do? It's a tough situation, very tough situation.
Okay, I think that also like you, maybe you can be constantly going to liturgy all the time. You're always in communion with Christ, so you don't need to like last minute kind of go to liturgy, like you're like, it's not like a judgment kind of thing. It's like, but at the same time it's like a good blessing, but at the same time you have to use your discernment, because like, I mean, if you haven't slept, like you should sleep or something. It's tricky.
That's right.
My solution would be to not put yourself in that position in the first place. If you have to prioritize your exam and liturgy, you make enough time to be able to do both. Do you know what I, like, instead of having to have it come down to...
If you're organized, you will not put yourself...
I was going to say, I actually build on Marina's point. It just has to say about your... has something to say about your priorities, right? So, you know, someone can study for X amount of hours and feel that they still need to study more, you know, to achieve whatever grade they want, right? And if you don't go to the liturgy that day, like what Marina said, like, you're not going to get cursed, right? But it's about your priorities. Some people will say, no, for me, it is more important to go to the liturgy, right? And God will work in the little that I did. And God will actually help, assuming you tried your best with what you had. And some people will choose to not go to liturgy that day. And honestly, it's just something between them and God. Like, there's no one's better than the other.
Thank you. Okay, so I have a question. Why you feel like this one is equal to that one? Like, it's an exam versus exam. So if I don't go, you know, I don't know what will happen. There is some consequences in the relationship between me and God. I felt that from the question. I don't know if, but I felt like, should I go or no? It's kind of, there is confusion. If what will happen if I don't go, right? The point is, you have the same question for, like, should I study for the exam, or exactly, should I study for the liturgy? kind of. It's both like exams. The professor, whatever, the teacher will judge me here, and God will judge me there. So I should choose. I felt it that way for some reason, even if you didn't mean that. But back in your mind, what if I didn't go to the liturgy before the exam? What if I didn't go to the liturgy before the exam? What if you didn't finish? For some reason, Yani, you didn't use your time wisely, or the exam was like sudden. Book tomorrow, there is an exam. So what will happen if you don't? What I felt like, if I didn't go, of course it's a great blessing. The question behind that is why? Why we are doing this? Why I go to the liturgy? I know why I go to the exam for sure, but why I go to the liturgy? If I know why I'm going to the liturgy every time, not for the time of the exam, that might solve all the problems. I have to go to this liturgy in the morning, the time of the exam? Or, again, the question of why I'm going. Should I go because I'm a checking mark? And if I don't go, I will not feel comfortable in my exam? That will be dangerous. Or I go because I love to meet God in liturgy. I love to be in a communion with God. And I know in that I'm talking to my Father, and there is no problem if I spend my time in the exam because I still have something to, like, area to whatever to cover. Or no, you know what? I did my best, and I go to my Father, and I know, like, I'm not feeling like if I don't go, I will not be cursed, whatever. No, just, I'm okay. I'm done my part. First thing is, like, to put the first thing first. Did you do your part in the exam? Do you need these 2 hours? Imagine the 6 to 8, you are going to meet Samir. His dad, by the way. Samir is... Okay? You are going... Samir has a meeting in the house for the whole family. Suddenly, 6 to 8, like, you know, everybody has to come. And you have an exam, 9 o'clock. What you do? If you answer this, you should answer the same way this one. Okay, so maybe I touch the... No, this is family stuff discussion, we can talk. I'm sorry, Samir. Oh, you're not here, I know.
I'm not saying that I would do this. Like, it's much easier said than done. But I think when a guy came up to him and told him, like, I want to follow you, but let me bury my dad first, right? And Christ told them, let the dead bury their own, right? So it's very harsh, or I don't want to say harsh, but it's very politically incorrect. I'm not saying that it's very easy to do, but I think that's what God would tell us, you know. It's like saying, God, I want to follow you, but let me just take care of my exam first. And God will say, just don't worry about your exam.
It's a big, huge difference. It's a huge difference. But let's see. Let's hear. But thank you for raising this point.
I just want to say, like, so in this situation, both things are important. And, like, you know, there's not really right or wrong answer. But if you get into the habit of saying, you know, I just have this exam, so, like, this time I won't go to church.
The battery? So So it's the same. It's like every, that's a very good example of what you're saying. So today I have an assignment. Sorry, God. I have an assignment. Today I have a very important call. I have to make a very important call because, you know, today is Real Madrid and Barcelona, and we need to discuss that, you know. It's very important, and we need to see what's going on. And it's Egypt in World Cup, you know, this is a big issue. So every time I have an excuse to follow God, right? That's the same point. I'm making an excuse to follow God. But Baher is talking about something else. I follow God. Christ is number one in my life. I pray every day. And I open my Bible every day. But tomorrow I have an exam and I didn't finish studying yet. That's totally different, right? It doesn't mean that I put God second every day. That means the same point of the guy who called God told him, follow me, is like, I have an assignment. I have quiz. I have an exam. So God is not in my list. The to-do list is not, God is not one of them. But we are talking about another situation of, no, God is number one in my life. And I really want to go to the liturgy. I want to do that. That's something very important in my life because I go to have a communion with God is number one in my life. But it happened to, I didn't finish yet. That's the totally different. I don't know if I, no? You feel like, yeah.
It's like what you were saying, like it's important but not urgent. Like there's what? What? Oh, okay. No, like, okay, so you said, like, let's say you have the exam and you're not done studying yet, but to go, like, to Mass at that, in that time, like, it's important, but, like, it's not urgent? Is that bad to say? Like, you don't have to go right now.
Okay. No, let's make it very clear. I'm not saying my answer is not don't go to the liturgy. Because the ideal is you used your time wisely and you done your exam from the last night, studying the exam for the last night, and you're good to go and everything is good because the liturgy is not something I go to spend time with God. It's the communion with Christ. It's the most important and valuable thing in my life. Imagine you take Christ in you. Like it's something beyond, I mean, we need to talk about Eucharist maybe later, because we need to not underestimate it, but I mean, it's something valuable. So beside this, nothing. It's like even it doesn't come to zero. It doesn't come to zero beside communion with Christ. Have a communion with Christ. Have Christ in me and abide in me and I abide in him. That's beyond anything else on earth. That's eternity. That's we are not on earth when we are in the liturgy. We are in heaven. So nothing on earth could even come closer to that. That's number one. Okay? Be clear on this. It's like really we need to be clear. We are talking about now the question of Beher is like, maybe for some reason, there is like part of the exam, I didn't study it. And I kept it in the morning. And I'm in a very, like God is number one in my life. And it's in my priority number one and nothing else equal that. However, I need to study for these 2 hours. Should I go or not go? That's the question. Maybe Abuna Bardo, you can put his input.
Okay. So to that point, if it's just like this one time and you know it's not going to happen again, but it's still the idea of like our lives and our life with God aren't separate things. So Yeah, so it's like our lives with God is not separate from our lives, like with the rest of the world. So if we dedicate this time to God, he's not out to get us. He's not going to say, okay, you know what, you didn't study, like, I'm not going to help you with the exam. And, like, God's plan for us, like, what we do, the minute things we do, doesn't really have an effect on, like, his greater plan for us. Like, even if tomorrow's exam, you fail it because you didn't study those 2 hours, which I'm sure is not likely, he'll still make things work out for you because that's what he does. So, not that I do this. Like, yeah, I sleep in. Sometimes I don't have a thing to do when I miss liturgy, but the idea is that there should never be a reason to skip something related to God, because that is actually what you're working for. Even if you end up being like a hobo, like, and you're close to God, like, that's more important than being very successful and not close to God.
Totally agree. Like, 100% agree. But my main idea is we should not put the exam equal to the liturgy, as if the liturgy is an exam. If I go, God will be, okay, I'll help you. Even if you didn't study, I'll make it. But if you don't come, you know, yeah, and you shuf lak had, okay, because you didn't come to my exam. This idea is very dangerous. It's very dangerous because God is not judging us based on if I come to the meeting or if I didn't come. It's coming naturally that I come to the meeting and I come to the liturgy. It comes naturally because, you know, he's my best friend, and my best friend is calling me. I would leave anything and go, right? I mean, it's not because I'm going because I have an exam, I have a problem, I need something. So yeah, or my life is easy now. So you know what? I will pray, I'll go to the liturgy, so it will be easy. Otherwise, God will be like, I know if I don't go. This idea is very dangerous, and it's not Christian at all. It's coming from somewhere else, not from here. So, but I agree with you, nothing equal a spiritual life. Nothing on earth equal communion with God. It's not even close to zero. Like, it's far from that, because we are in heaven at this time of communion. So I agree with you, and this is like really what we should know. However, we don't do that because the judgment notion of I don't go or I go. No, I'm going there because I believe God will ease my way. He will, as he make the way from the sea, like out of the water, there was a way. I know he will make a way. That doesn't mean I will sleep and he will make my way, but I mean I will do my best and he will do the rest.
You really answered it. Thank you.
Beher, did I answer your question? Or everybody answers. I don't want to hear anything from you again. I'm just joking. Anything else? Any comment, question?
Time you're saying you shouldn't, like, I think you also, like, shouldn't have an expectation that, like, God is going to help you necessarily when you're lacking.
There is something called faith, right? What's faith? Is like, I believe in God, not the God who is giving me, not the God of, okay, he's the bank. I will go, and I expect he will give me back because I go to the bank, you know, so I'm expecting money back. That's not faith. That's yani dealing with God as yani, I will give you my time, you give me back money. I'll give you time, you give me back success. And I know if I don't come, for sure I will not get the money. But faith is, and if we're talking about faith, we'll have to talk about someone like Abraham. Abraham, he was taking his son to kill him, and nobody understood how did he do that. How he is like 100% sure that the voice is coming to him is God. Until the New Testament, St. Paul, he opened, like he gave us the key of this question. He said that Abraham had faith that God, even if he killed him, he will raise him from death. So he said that by faith, Abraham did that because he knew. He was sure that God, he will raise him from death. It never happened before, but this is the faith. The faith of, I give God just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's nothing. It's not enough to feed me. But I give it, I eat less than that one, usually. But I give it to the hand of God, and I know out of this hand, 5,000 people will be good, and there is a lot of left over to take with me. This is the faith. The faith is not, I'm expecting of God, I'm praying to you so you'll give me success. No, that's not faith. That's a trading kind of. I'll give you, you give me. But the faith is, I know my life is in your hand. Whatever I will do, I know you will bless. Even if I'm not that good in my part, I know you can bless it. My time is not, I'm trying, but you know, still, like, I'm struggling in my time. But I know you will bless this very few minutes every day I spend with you. That doesn't mean I will be satisfied with 2 minutes and he will bless it every day. I'm trying, but even if I'm trying, like something happened, I couldn't do it, I know it's not, you'll not judge me based on how much time. I know you'll bless it, right? So I'm not sure this is... Yeah, some pizza, okay, that. Okay, downstairs. I will talk downstairs. Okay, any other comment?
Mercy and not sacrifice. So as long as we don't abuse that verse, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And glory be to God forever and ever.